This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Service clubs like the JCs and the Optimists have traditionally been an important part of the backbone of a community. In exchange for having a place for people to socialize, network, and learn service leadership, these clubs help communities in a variety of ways. But since the mid-1970s, these service clubs in general have been growing older and smaller. Here to talk about what's happening in their clubs and what's being done to hold steady or reverse this trend are members of three area service clubs. David Strudhoff, a member and past president of the Stoddard Lions Club, Tracy Gaskin, president of the La Crosse Kiwanis Club, and two members of the Downtown Rotary Club of La Crosse, President Jody Wiedek and Andrew Bauckham, a director and advisor to Central High School's Interact Club. WPR's John Davis started by asking David Strudhoff how he became interested in joining a service club.
I have to really say it probably goes really back to my father and my parents. They missed some of the games that I was in. They missed, they didn't go to some of the events because they had service jobs or service responsibilities in a club they may belong to or a church or going on. So I think, quite frankly, my background has a lot to do with how I was raised, and that providing service and belonging to these organizations are very important, and that was taught to me as a child back 50 years ago. So,
Tracy Gaskin, why did you get involved in service clubs?
I honestly got involved because of my position with the La Crosse Symphony Orchestra as the executive director. With our board of directors, our organization believes that our ED should be out in the community and doing as much as possible, and the service organizations offer that opportunity for me. The reason I chose Kiwanis was because we had a couple strong sponsors and board members that were already on Kiwanis and good friends of mine, and they encouraged me to go to that club, and that's basically why I chose Kiwanis.
Has it served you well? Are you happy with the decision? Is it something you'd be doing if you weren't in this role?
I'm really thankful that because of my position at work that it got me involved. Because I don't know, I didn't really know very much about service organizations until I started working for the La Crosse Symphony. I was new to Wisconsin, and so it just kind of it opened up a lot of interesting things for me to do, and I love it now. So even if I wasn't working for the Symphony now, I would still be a Kiwanian.
Jody Wiedek, why did you get involved in service clubs?
Well, twofold. There are two different answers. One very similar to Tracy's. I was the executive director at the Parenting Place. Great opportunity to connect with people outside of those normal kind of work circles, which is really important in this role. But I had been born and raised in La Crosse and never really engaged with any volunteer activities, never really saw the impact of service clubs on my daily life until I became aware of Rotary. And I thought, well, that's awesome. I want to be a part of that. I want to give back to this community where I've had a really happy life. So those were my reasons.
And Andrew, why did you get involved in the service club?
I would say my reason, I know what my reasoning is. It's very similar to Tracy's, except I was kind of demanded to do this. I work for U.S. Bank. I'm a vice president there. And my boss, when I took the job, said, you're going to be part of Downtown Rotary. And I really, really didn't know what I was getting into when he kind of said that. I was like, oh okay. And it turned out I got involved and engaged, and it's really really been something that I've latched onto and really enjoy. So
it's been a rewarding thing that you do now, even if it weren't a matter of employment?
Absolutely. I think it's something that I've really become a part of something that's just so much bigger than myself, and it really has been so rewarding for me.
Jude, could you talk a little bit about Downtown Rotary, what it does, what its purpose is?
Sure. I could take up the rest of the show, I bet, talking about our club. I won't. I will share the microphone. I am sure everybody else could do the same, but we are a very vibrant, active club. Our membership is at 178, which is phenomenal. We've had some nice growth the past couple of years, which is a little different than what some Rotary clubs or other service clubs are experiencing. Right now, in the next year, a couple projects that are on our plate is iFeed is coming up in November. That's an annual event that engages the InterAct students and also helps feed people all around the world. We're really excited about that. We are on a mission to plant one tree in our community for every one of our members. So just starting up that project, we're excited about that as well. So those are a couple newer things, but our club is really active in some long-term commitments, like helping out with Come to Supper. We do have a route for mobile meals. Andy, what else are we doing?
We help out with Rotary Lights quite a bit. Probably the biggest one that the community knows us about. And then we've had other service projects. We still maintain Kids Cooley. Mm-hmm. There's just so many things that we do here locally, but this last year, too, we also had quite a few international projects that we helped out with.
Cameroon.
Mm-hmm. And in India, we financed some bathrooms for some people in India so little girls could continue to go to school. Right. So, yeah.
And I guess I would like to just mention one more thing, and that's Rotary's involvement with eradicating polio. This has been a 30-year campaign, and internationally, we are so close. This year, in 2017, there have only been 5 new cases of polio. When Rotary International started this project, there are 350,000 new cases of polio every year. So people locally have an impact on that by supporting the campaign and then going on National Immunization Days.
David, talk a little bit about the importance of the Lions Club in Stoddard.
Well, a lot of people, particularly in Wisconsin, somewhat unique in that is we have approximately 500 clubs in the state of Wisconsin right now, divided into 10 different districts. 85% of them are in towns of 1,500 or less. So we are very much organized and structured, and our missions more often are dealt with zeroing in on the needs of smaller communities. So just to give you some perspective with regards to that. Similar to what we've heard earlier, Lions 2 has a worldwide mission, of course, and its eyesight happens to be our focus that we've worked on. That's been since 1927 when Helen Keller basically approached Lions International that time to ask us to be the Knights of Sight. And so we've carried that mission ever since. And so we work with research. But at the state level, we have a camp that we have that we send children with special needs that for no charge. We send them there, and that's Lions' responsibility to help fund that at the state level. Local levels, we do everything from providing services for like our T-ball and our little softball, baseball. 50% of the cost of that is Lions supports. And then, of course, we do for mission work. We do quite a bit of work for instance, our food pantry. We do quite a bit of work with that and providing services for there at the local level. And then you got clubs like DeSoto where you have catastrophes, and they literally sat down and did all the grant writing and to get the money from the federal government in order that they could get funds necessary to get back on their feet after the major flood that we had in there. So there's example, not just what our club does, but other local Lions clubs have done. So there isn't a hardened niche as to what we do. I think each club has its own morphs into what the needs of the community are, and then they try to meet those needs.
Tracy, could you talk a little bit about what the La Crosse Kiwanis Club is all about.
Right. Well, the Kiwanis Club, we also have an international project, and that's the Eliminate Project. We partner with UNICEF to eliminate maternal and neonatal tetanus. And so that's what we're doing on an international basis. But our club locally, we hold three major fundraisers a year, and the monies from those fundraisers go to organizations like Children's Miracle Network, Salvation Army, Children's Museum, The Parenting Place, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boy Scouts of America, things like that. But some of our projects that we do that we're really known for locally, we have a special days for special people, an event where we invite physically and mentally challenged individuals to a park for afternoon of food, music, and fun. We also, you know, do the Salvation Army bell ringing, and we fill the Christmas baskets, mobile meals. You know, we have a section of Highway 16 that we clean, you know, three times a year. So there's just a lot of things that kind of like the Lions Club, where we just kind of participate in a lot of different things locally for volunteers that, you know, when they need volunteers. And so it keeps us going.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about the future of service clubs. Our guests include La Crosse Kiwanis Club President Tracy Gaskin, Downtown La Crosse Rotary President Jody Wiedek, and Director Andrew Bacham, and Stoddard Lions Club member David Strudoff. This next question we're going to direct to you from the Lions and the Kiwanis. We've already heard a little bit about the fact that Rotary is gaining some members, but if there's a reason we're here, and what I want to explore is the fact that it appears membership in service clubs is dropping in this country. What is the situation in the La Crosse Kiwanis Club, Tracy?
Well, for about the last 5 years, we've kind of maintained a membership of 40. So we'll get all excited because we'll get like three new members, and then three members will drop off. So it's kind of like maintaining right now. But it is, you know, every single board meeting we have, meetings that we have with the entire membership are about membership and getting more people to attend. And you know, we talk, we brainstorm about what are some of the obstacles, you know, what can we do to change that. We do have Circle K at UWL that's really a lot of memberships, they have a lot of members, and we work closely with them. But they're not necessarily kids that live in La Crosse and are going to stay in La Crosse. So they end up graduating and moving off, which is good for Kiwanis International because they'll probably join a Kiwanis club somewhere else. But for our club, we really haven't been able to, you know, keep any of the kids in La Crosse to stay with us. But, you know, I mean, I think a lot of with anything volunteering-wise in our service clubs, time is just, you know, the most discretionary thing that people have, and they're being asked to do so much now. And we find a lot of people just want to volunteer. You know, tell us where to go, what to do, and we'll be there, but don't make us go to a meeting once a week, you know. But the one thing I think they're missing out on is that fellowship of once a week meeting and having lunch together and discovering all the different things that we're doing in the community by having presenters at every meeting. And you really get to know what's going on in the community through those meetings. And I just don't think a lot of people understand the benefit that they get.
Have you had people say, we'd love to be a member of the Kiwanis if there wasn't this weekly meeting
I don't have time, I'm too busy, you know, to go to the meeting once a week. And also dues. I think dues are sometimes an obstacle for us.
What are dues a year?
Well, we go per quarter, and it's okay. Like $165 a quarter, and basically pays for the meals that you get from the Radisson. Mm-hmm. And a little bit extra, but mostly it's just the meals that they're paying for. So it you think you're going to be eating lunch anyway, so it's not that big a deal. But what we, you know, we sit here And look, just out of the three of the four of us, we joined our service club because of a business, because of the job that we're in. So we're really trying to, as a club, focus on that more and go, instead of trying to reach out to individuals, go to businesses and say, you know, so if the business is paying for the membership and they have someone that's in our club, I think that's the direction that we're going.
So, David, could you talk a little bit about the situation, not only in Stoddard, but in the general La Crosse area where you're a regional director?
I would say Lions clubs as a whole in the state of Wisconsin right now is holding their own, dropping slightly. But there's two issues that we're running into that we haven't, we still struggle with. And this may change in a short time, but as an example, as I said, most of the clubs are located in the smaller communities. Well, people are moving out of the smaller communities and moving into the urban areas. So there alone, we just have fewer people to solicit to even join our club. And that's number one. And then we got something similar to, we got Milwaukee, the city proper. There's not a single Lions club in the city proper of Milwaukee. Now, the suburbs have very active Lions, but in right. the city of Milwaukee, so we really struggle with these large urban areas to really get clubs going and motivated and to keep them moving and finding a niche that they could fall into with regards to that. One of the things that we're doing positive, I think, is that both at the state, both at our local, state, national, international levels, we have people assigned to one thing only, and that's membership. And so we speak of membership very regularly. We have one person assigned to it, even at the local level, to try to figure out ways to bring people in, to invite them into it. Because, you know, particularly, like I said, in the rural areas, things of that nature is really important in that fashion. So those are one of the things we do. The thing that I think people miss is, and I've seen this and I've listened to many of the other speakers here, what people miss about our service organizations and why they're not just important, they're critical. And that is, if you would ask anyone at the hospitals or the nursing homes or assisted living, if your volunteers would walk out tomorrow, what would your place be like? Mm-hmm. And the only way I can describe it is, I'm an old farm boy originally, it's like the clogs of the machine are the paid staff, but we're the grease. And you take the grease away, the machine breaks down pretty quickly. And I think that kind of speaks to everything we do in our community here, is that somehow or another we got to be able to connect with people to let them understand that what we do, even though we're not getting a salary for this, it's not just important, it's critical that we survive as clubs so that we can give back. And I think that's what the message we're trying to tell in Lions.
Jody, I want to bring you in here because you talked early on about the fact you've been able to gain some members in downtown Rotary in recent years. How have you been able to do that, do you think?
Well, I think it's multiple strategies from multiple people in our club. That's never a result of one person doing one thing. Like others have been talking about, membership is a topic of conversation all of the time. Our Rotary International asks clubs of our size to set a membership goal of +2 every year. So this year, our goal is to end the year with 180 members. We started with 178. So no matter how many we lose, we're supposed to end up with +2. And that helps. That kind of drives us. I think we've been talking a long time about how our club needs to evolve to be attractive to younger generation. So simple things like when we've heard one of our old traditions in our club meetings was club singing. And visitors and guests would go, what in the world is this singing? So we just kind of slowly moved it off our agenda. That was, you know, did cause a little controversy. People like their traditions. So it's kind of balancing that. How do you stay true to your traditions and still maybe let go of some so that you can appear to be an evolving, attractive club? I think we're also really focusing on some really good hands-on work. There are lots of opportunities to donate. There are lots of opportunities to come together for lunch. But to really get your hands into a project, I think a lot of younger people are looking for that. I remember just a couple of weeks ago at the Rotary International Convention, there was a Rotaract member who was speaking before tens of thousands of people, and she's saying, we want to be involved. She's representing a younger generation. But for us, service is not a weekly lunch meeting. And I took that to heart and thought, what do we need to do to make sure we are offering all sorts of opportunities?
I know you're all part of national and international organizations. How much are they driving membership or making suggestions anyway?
Sure. I think Rotary International is always thinking about that because worldwide Rotary membership has declined. They provide a lot of support and resources to the clubs. Our website from Rotary International is so deep with resources. They've been working on a rebranding, so those materials will be available at the local level. They're doing incredible research that says people can hear and know about Rotary, but they don't know what that means, what Rotary means. So all of their new materials are about people in action. But even though those resources are there, it's up to each club to access them and use them. So we do get a lot of support.
David, are you able to get support from national or international organizations?
That's a good job, too. Matter of fact, it's really just broken into two big pieces. One is for training, and then the other one is membership. And a lot of the training is to help in the membership issue. Just recently, I just attended a workshop where we're trained how to help struggling clubs, that we can go in and work with these clubs to help them get back on their feet. Nine times out of ten, it's usually because one of two things. One, they're running out of members, or the members they have have reached the age they physically just cannot continue doing the activities they were doing, so we need to help them in one way or another that way. So, yes, we're really very similar to what we have with Rotary set up. It's just almost identical in the sense we do have a lot of benefits there, both at the not only international, national, but state level. Again, it's up to each of the clubs and the membership, though, to take advantage of those.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about the future of service clubs. Our guests include La Crosse Kiwanis Club President Tracy Gaskin, Downtown La Crosse Rotary President Jody Wiedek and Director Andrew Bacham, and Stoddard Lions Club member David Strudoff. So how has the stagnant level of the La Crosse Kiwanis Club, how has that impacted what you're able to do?
Well, it does affect our level of donation. We like to be able to donate to almost anyone that asks us for money. And we get requests all the time, but with only 40 members and with our fundraisers, we really have to work hard on our three fundraisers in order to keep that level of donation up. And if we had more members, then it would be a lot easier to keep donating to the community at a higher and higher level, which is what, our ultimate goal is.
David, how has the stagnation affected what Lions clubs are able to do?
Well, I think the issue we run into now is that clubs that are holding their own, similar to what we've been, we're just getting older. I mean, I'm 60, and I'm one of the youngest people in our club. Now, we do have... I think one of the problematic issue we run into, and our research is, and it's kind of proven out to some degree, is I can recruit a 48-year-old fairly easy. I'm 60. They'll get it. But I can't recruit a 28-year-old. There's just too much distance, unless it's my child or something, or my grandchild. And so I think that's one of the dilemmas we have, is trying to connect with different generations to bring them in, and so that they can feel comfortable in this and know that they could have this club evolve. But so I think right now it's just that our membership is stagnant, but the problem we're running into is we're starting to age out, which means we just physically can't do to the same degree things that we did in the past.
Recruitment's one thing, but are you all able to retain members pretty well, Jody?
Yep, I actually pulled out some data just for this topic, and we're finding that we're retaining 90% of our new members, which I was pleasantly surprised by, because we're hearing from our district and international, retention is kind of a tricky thing. And for our existing member retention, it's 76%. Recently, we're seeing folks leave because of retirements and things like that, or they're moving out of the area because of jobs, new jobs.
How's retention with the Lions Club?
I don't have the specifics on that. I would say they're probably not quite as high, and it's largely due that we are probably recruiting from a different base of people. So we're not, you know, it's a little bit looser in that fashion. But I think again, it's retention is still a critical, important part. And part of that was said by many of these other speakers here. The more you're involved, the higher probability you'll stay. The less you're involved, the higher probability you'll drift away. And yeah. So that's what we know that, and that's what we try to do to keep them involved.
David Strudhoff of the Stoddard Lions Club talking about the state of service clubs with WPR's John Davis. He's also been talking with President Jody Wiedek and Andrew Bauckham of the Downtown La Crosse Rotary Club and Tracy Gaskin, La Crosse Kiwanis Club president. Coming up, we'll talk about some of the generational hurdles preventing young people from joining service clubs and what members of these clubs are doing about it. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to the organizations we've talked with today. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Many service clubs are having trouble getting millennials to join their organizations. WPR's John Davis talked about generational differences affecting these clubs with David Strudhoff from the Stoddard Lions Club.
We've got some good, pretty good information on the millennials, and I feel good about the millennials coming into the workforce now. They're going to make up 50% of the workforce in just 3 years. I mean, they're great people. They've got their act together. The problem we're running into, and I spoke to it earlier, is we've got the Gen Xers between us and them. And so we need the Gen Xers to recruit the millennials. And if, because I'm a baby boomer, those millennials look at me like I'm some ancient old fossil coming at
them. But you're not getting the Gen Xers, are you?
That's where our struggle is at right now. The only thing I can say to that is we need to do a better job of telling our story, number one. And number two, to explain to them that it's particularly in Lions Club, where we don't have businesses to help feed into this, we try to explain to them that, you know, service learning is a learned trait. Kids learn by watching their parents. And so you don't maybe have the time because you got to go to those basketball games, perhaps missing one of those or two of those basketball games a month because you have a public service responsibility also sends a good message to your kid also. Yeah, I can't be to your game tonight because I have a Kiwanians meeting or I have a Lions meeting, and it's important that I'm there too, or a church meeting or thing of that nature. So we have to work with Gen Xers and millennials to let them know that the best advocacy is the parents and get involved with that. And then we have to be flexible. Bring your kids to the club meeting. It's okay working with that. And we have to talk differently. And let me give you an example. When we have a fundraiser, you ask someone my generation, was your fundraiser successful? I go, yeah, we raised $6,000. When you ask a millennial, was your fundraiser the same fundraiser? Was it successful? They'll say, "Yeah, it was," because we're serving over 400 kids. We're talking about the exact same fundraiser, but we talk about it differently, and so we have to learn that difference. And that's some of the things that we're working on.
Yeah, I don't want to beat on the millennials at all because they just have a different way of doing things. And Andrew, one of the reasons I had you here was to talk about the younger generation and your role as an advisor to the Interact Club. Could you Before you respond to that, could you talk about what that involves, what the Interact Club is and does? And
yeah, but before I get to that, just to kind of add on to what David has said, and because I am that Gen Xer. When I joined Rotary, I was, 37, and now I'm 40, so I'm kind of moving into that age
right.
Difference.
Right.
But I kind of fit that demographic. I've got two kids. I've got 7 and 11-year-old boys. And, you know, for me right now, it is sports and school activities, and, I mean, it's go, go, go. But the one thing I've found in Rotary is I've been able to get my kids involved with things. We've gone and done projects, and it's been really, really touching. I know we served meals at Our Savior's Church here in town, and I took my oldest son to that one time, and we sat and we served meals, and afterwards we had this one gentleman who was there who my son sat and talked to him for probably 15, 20 minutes, and this was after we had finished our job, and it was like a light bulb went on in my head at that point that this is something that's so much bigger than you or I. It was what I was giving to my son at that moment was huge. But to get back to your question, as far as Interact is our club group at the high school level, and we've got, seven Interact clubs in the area here? The one I work with is our Lacrosse Central Interact Club, and the involvement there, it's basically Rotary at the high school level. So we're not doing quite as big of projects, but the project that we do with them is iFeed is our big project for the year. And Jody talked a little bit about that. We get together and we package meals and we do a food drive, and it has just kind of taken off. And my involvement with Interact too, it's something where at that level, we always have a changing of the guard. So every year we're losing seniors and we're trying to recruit freshmen, and we're trying to do some interesting things this last year. It was just all about getting the kids engaged in the meetings, getting them engaged in different things. But by doing that, we've been able to build the club. I think last year we probably had about 15 to 20 students. This year we had a meeting where we had 50 kids show up for a meeting, and I just sat there and was almost brought tears to my eyes that all these kids, they want to be involved. It's just we got to get the message mm-hmm. out there, and that's a big part of it. So actually doing this today will probably help.
Mm-hmm. You know, social media is a big thing as opposed to attending a weekly or a monthly meeting and singing with a bunch of older people. You know, and the way I think students or the millennial generation view service is a lot different than older generations as well. So has there been an effort to tap into where these younger people live and how they view life to get them to join your club, or is what you're doing too much of a relic of the past that they aren't interested in, do you think?
You know, one strategy that happened out of our club, it was to help start a new format targeting younger generations. So meeting schedule that is more conducive, less expensive. So that club is called After Hours. Their structure is not a weekly lunch meeting. It's after hours, after work. And they don't have a formal weekly meeting. They kind of switch things up and have socials or have a service club. That group now, I think, is around 80 people. And they actually had several people interested in being presidents for this year and had to have a formal election. And I don't know about Lions or Kiwanis, but you just kind of line your folks up.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have a formal election.
Right. We're begging and saying, we need a president next
right.
year.
So I think
here we got one.
Yeah. So that's an excellent sign that format is working for some young professionals in our community.
I was going to say Rotary does for our community. They really are, you know, what we look at as
the state and the gold standard.
Yeah, I mean they really do it right. They really do, and you know it's a great thing that we're doing, and those of us at Kiwanis, you know, we always tease and laugh, like Andy and I are good friends, and we'll be like, you know, well, yeah, so what? You got, you know, 180 people in your club, so what? You know, it's amazing. It really is. And for the whole entire community, what they're doing is amazing, and all of the service clubs are proud of them, that they're able to do what they do, and we hope to learn from them, that we can do some of these great things that they're doing, and grow our base, because it would be awesome. I mean, there's so many people out there that we know and love and work with and are friends with that, you know, I just look at them, I'm like, gosh, you would be so great in a service organization, because it I think the number one thing is it gives you an opportunity to volunteer in so many different ways. You know, and you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do. If you want to do mobile meals, or if you want to usher at the La Crosse Community Theater, or if you want to help ring bells at the Salvation Army. And you don't have to do everything, but you can kind of pick and choose what you like to do. And there's not very many, unless you go to every nonprofit organization and offer your volunteer services, there's no other way to really get a broad volunteering situation than a service club.
Yeah, we actually have a Lions, College Lions Club on campus here at University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, and it's more of a cyber club, and we're seeing evolving into that. We have two things we're experimenting with, the cyber clubs, of course, where they just basically are online connections in that fashion. They might only get together face-to-face. Maybe four or five times a year. So it's, and then we also have specialty clubs where they only meet for one purpose a year, and maybe only meet three or four times. And so those, they're called specialty clubs. They might be one major fundraiser a year for one major event. And so those are other areas that we're looking into also to expand our base for providing a different format for Lions.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about the future of service clubs. Our guests include La Crosse Kiwanis Club President Tracy Gaskin, Downtown La Crosse Rotary President Jody Wiedig and Director Andrew Bacham, and Startered Lions Club member David Strudoff. Do your rank-and-file members, your older members, kind of get where you're at with this needing to meet the generational, or are they just, well, you know, they can start their own thing? And
well, I know, like, we've discussed at the board level, like, having introductory rates dues, you know, for, like, especially our Circle K members, you know, that are coming out of college, and we're going to, you know, hey, for the first year, we're going to give you a major discount so that, because we know you're just coming out of college, you're starting your student loans and paying those off and all that kind of stuff. And then you get the retirees who are like, well, I'm living on a fixed income and I should get a discount too, you know. So I think with us, our older generation is, they know it's important and they'd like to see a younger generation come in. But they really hold on to their traditions too, and aren't, you know, they definitely want to be flexible and stuff, but I think that you know, I don't think in Kiwanis our singing will ever go away.
David, you're young and computer savvy. In the Star Lions Club, you're probably one of the younger members. You're computer savvy.
Oh,
there's
okay.
No interest. There's no interest in meeting the younger generation halfway.
Oh no, I think it's we're. I don't think there's anyone resistant to. Some people just don't have the basic skills to do that. I mean, we've got some officers and that, quite frankly, don't even own a computer, live alone. We're talking about computer savvy in that fashion. So I think there's an evolution going on. The tough part about it is you know, for instance, Lyons this year is 100 years old. And many, there's traditions that have helped kept it alive. And it's hard for people to understand that some of those traditions and many of the traditions may, within the next 10 years, the very things that kept us alive for the last 100, if we don't, aren't willing to give some of those traditions up, in the next, we could be dead in the next 10 years. We really have to look at what we can do to really modify the way that we can communicate with each other. And maybe some of the old traditional days of face-to-face, sitting down and having lunch together is not going to work on as it used to. So I think we're open to that. Again, it's just a matter of being able to work through some of these changes.
From what I've been able to read a little bit that's out there about this, it appears that it's a bigger issue within clubs in the United States than it is internationally.
Yeah.
Have any of you been able to, find out or ascertain why they're having more success in foreign countries?
I can speak to Lions, and I don't know if it's fair to say, but it's a status symbol for some of these countries, like Japan and China, as an example. To even join, you got to throw in $1,000 to begin with. I mean, we're talking about $100 here and there. They're $1,000 just to join. And so for many of them, it's a status symbol to join certain organizations like Lions and that class. So I don't know. So in that case, they're still growing, and they have an evolving economy in us, but the United States isn't built on that fashion. So it's hard for us to compare ourselves to other countries because the purpose of joining Lions is so radically different. So it's a little bit more difficult.
So have you all had a chance to do some planning for the future? And what do you think your clubs will look like in the next 10 years? I don't know.
Well, that's a really good question.
Why don't we start with Jody?
Yeah, I'm hoping that we see more women in our membership. Not that I think we need to have check boxes, but internationally, women in Rotary is around 24%. I can't remember the statistic exactly. In our club, it's 38%, which is great. We're doing better than the average around the world. And that also highlights who else are we missing for me. You know, if we're still working on helping women feel like Rotary is a good place for them, who else is out there? Maybe it's speakers of other languages or other religions and, you know, getting a handle on that. So for me, I think it's more about diversity across all demographics. Right now, our club membership, if you look at that 50-year mark, 50 years old, we're about 28% of our membership is below 20 or 50 years old. It leaves the remaining to be over, so I'd like to see that move.
Do you two take a shot at this? Where your club's going to be in the next 10 years or so, Tracy?
I don't see Kiwanis going away at all. I know that we're maintaining our number or whatever, but right now we have in our club some really brilliant people and really go-getters, and kind of the agenda, the plan that we have of growing our membership, I think that we'll be pretty successful with it. I don't think Kiwanis, we like being a small club, and I know there are other Rotaries that are about our size too, you know, and they kind of like enjoy that camaraderie. We know every single member, you know, we know their family, we know what they're doing, you know, because we are small, and I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. We just don't want to get any less than what we have. You know, it would be nice to stay at that 40 to 60 level and kind of maintain that.
David, your thoughts on where the Stoddard Lions Club are?
I think not just the Stoddard Lions Club, but Lions General, particularly in the state, twofold we're going to be looking at. Number one is we have an ongoing conveyor belt of retirees coming on board. And people got to understand in life, you got three major missions. First, your first 18 years of your life, you're learning. The next 40 years, you're working. And then for a full life, we ask that your last phase of your life is service. give back to your communities. And I think we need to really concentrate on the new people coming off the conveyor belt, entering into retirement to give back. And we have alliances along with all these organizations, one way to do that. And then the third thing is to start modifying our how we meet and why we meet and things of that nature so that we be more conducive to the needs of our Gen Xers and our millennials as they start working in. I'm optimistic. I think we can more than maintain. I hope we can grow in the next 10 years, and our faces will look different, but and maybe whether it's younger or not, I don't know, but at least we will be there.
There is no danger in clubs disbanding?
No.
No?
Not with us.
No.
Yes. I mean, yeah, we have clubs that are in trouble, and we go out and try to help them as much as we can. But yeah, there are clubs out there, and even in the area that I work in, that are in trouble and that we have to work with. So we also have clubs opening up, though, new ones opening up. So hopefully we can keep that balance.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about the future of service clubs. Our guests include La Crosse Kiwanis Club President Tracy Gaskin, Downtown La Crosse Rotary President Jody Wiedig, and Director Andrew Bacham, and Stoddard Lions Club member David Strudoff. What does service look like in the future, do you think, as the millennials become more a part of this, maybe doing it their own way? Andrew, have you had a chance to have discussions with some of the teens that you're advising about, you know, what they want to do with their life when it comes to service?
Yeah.
And how they envision life going?
It's a very interesting picture with our group, and that's another thing that we're kind of working on here in La Crosse, is trying to get a Rotaract club at that level. But the interactors that we've worked with at the high school level, it seems like they're all going on, and they see the value, so they want to keep going with it, and they want to search out, you know, service clubs at their colleges and that area. So I'm pretty excited about where Interact is kind of taking them. I think a lot of the kids kind of came in and they signed up thinking, oh, this will help pad my resume for college, and they've actually gotten more out of it than they've really thought they were going to get. So, yep.
David, my last question is for you. You talked about the importance of, you know, some of the Lions Club activities and started. You fund ball teams, so right. Make it a little less expensive. DeSoto steps in when the community needs help in an emergency situation.
Correct.
So if some of the clubs are threatened, particularly in smaller communities, what does that mean for the quality of life in the future, and does anything step in to replace them?
Well, that was the analogy I used earlier for just this community about the grease and the clogs, right, and all that, right. Stuff. It's no different in the small communities. There's more to it than just belonging to the club. It's belonging to a bigger cause than yourself. And I think in all of us, that's really going to be the driving force in the future. Without these organizations, it has a saddening effect, I think, is the best way to put it, where you exist in a community, it's nicety, but there just is no cohesion. And I think that's the purpose of a Lions or a Kiwanian or a Rotary in a smaller community, is that one avenue that people have. They can come together with different, for a common cause, to do something good or for bettering yourself. And I think that's really the long-term hope that we in surviving, and I think people understand that, and I think that's what's lost if you cannot have organizations of that nature maintained.
Is there anything else any of you would like to add about this topic?
There is just one thing that I'm realizing, that all of our communities are just much richer and have more opportunities the more service clubs there are. Just as Tracy mentioned, that some people are going to be more comfortable and will thrive in a club of 40 as opposed to a club of 170. So I just think it's an incredible testament to our community when different size clubs thrive and with different focuses. I think that just gives so many opportunities for anybody who wants to volunteer their time and get involved.
Jody Wiedek is president of the Downtown Rotary Club of La Crosse. She was joined by fellow Rotarian Andrew Bauckham, La Crosse Kiwanis Club president Tracy Gaskin, and Stoddard Lions Club member David Strudhoff. They spoke with WPR's John Davis about the challenges many service clubs are having attracting new members. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. Our Newsmakers intern is Colin Malliott. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.